Voice Over Coffee Shop, episode number 53.
Welcome to the Voice Over Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the Voiceover Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you would like to get to know a little bit more about me, check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have the fabulous and amazing Allison Packard. Allison is the founder of the podcast Allison's Wonderland and has been a part of some really big animation and video game projects, from being the Blood Elf in World of Warcraft to Alma in Poppycat, Barbie's GPS in Toy Story, and a list that could go on for a while. So, let's dive in.
How are you doing today, Allison?
I'm doing good. Juggling lots of things.
I can imagine. How do you take your coffee in the morning?
Well, on days that I'm having coffee, I usually just get black. But many days I skip coffee and do mud water instead, which is, it's like a tea. It's a mix of adaptogen mushrooms and tea and turmeric. It kind of has a cocoa and chai flavor to it.
Okay. And is that for body health or vocal health or like?
For body health, I guess, but also it's delicious. But it's 1/7 the caffeine of coffee, so
I might have to try that.
I'm pretty sensitive to coffee, even though I can get on a kick. It's not the greatest for my body.
Gotcha. Yeah. So how did you end up getting wrapped up in the voiceover industry? You started in 2004, is that right?
I started in LA in 2004, but my first voiceover job was probably closer to 2001. In Boston when I was working at the time, and attending college at Emerson, I had sort of been interested in voiceover as a job since high school, and, was taking on camera acting classes at a local casting agency, and they brought me in for a voiceover audition, and, I booked it. And, you know, if you do VO, you know, you're drawn to it for a certain reason. And there wasn't as much hubbub about it. I think it was just sort of something that some of us did. And yeah, I was lucky to kind of cut my teeth before I moved to Los Angeles and have a small body of work before I came out here.
So is that why you moved to Los Angeles, was to take on that career?
It was for performing, both voiceover and on camera acting. But voiceover was just a natural fit. I just started working much sooner and had more success out of the gate. So I kind of went down that path.
Okay. So what do you think led to like being able to cut your teeth so early and having such a successful career? Like, do you think it was your intuition to acting or all of your acting experience, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was acting. I think I've been acting since the first grade, so I experimented with a lot of different accents and using my voice on stage and kind of having good diaphragmatic support. A lot of people, it's so cliche, but you've got a great voice. And then in high school, I was doing community theater and I had an off stage death scene speaking into a microphone, and I just loved how it was like I could be so dramatic. I was, you know, probably 16 at the time, but the character moved from a teenager to a woman in her 50s, and so I got to age my voice, and I just loved it. I thought it was so fun and so cool. And then I started doing oratorical essays, which is much more similar to broadcasting or commercial VO, where you're really like a brand or anthem spot. You're really defining the identity of the essence, if you will, of what that spot's about. So I did some of that and won some awards. And so I think there was a lot of signs that it would be a good fit and that I would do well as a career. But I also pursued stand-up comedy.
Do you still have some bits of that? I'd love to hear that.
I'm sure you could find it if you searched hard, but I haven't done stand-up in over 10 years, actually.
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe like a show here and there. It was a great foundation, but it's a lot of time and effort and committing. And I found I was just splitting my interests between a lot of different focuses. So I just kind of niched down to VO because I was like, I can learn all the casting people. I can, submit on what I need to, and nobody's judging me for what I look like.
Yeah,
So
that's true.
it was freeing.
So when you were niching down, were you doing a lot of direct marketing, or was all of your work coming from agents that you had acquired before you moved over?
Most of my work has always come from agents, and that's just because when I moved to Los Angeles in 2003, somebody that I went to school with was an assistant, and she got me my first agency. And that was before I didn't really understand that direct marketing was a thing. The most direct marketing I did was sort of before I moved to CESD, and that was, a while ago. I think I've probably been there 10 years. And marketing has just changed so much. I literally was just going through my closet and I have a box of postcards. I would send thank you cards or postcards. I'm like, I guess I just throw these away. Like nobody even wants them anymore. People used to like a little handwritten note every once in a while, but
I think people still do, and it shows you got moxie, I mean, some people hate it, but
if you
like
can track
every once in a
down
while.
people's address, though, how do you get people's addresses?
I mean, just send it to the agency or send it to the company, I guess.
Okay, I'm thinking more for video games and.
A lot of people will send postcards to, they'll find video game production companies and they'll send postcards out. I actually have two friends very specifically where once a week they find different, one week they'll do video game companies, one week they'll do animation studios, one week they'll do e-learning companies, and they'll write out postcards and send them to as many of them as they can.
That's cool.
Because it's
Have
different,
they
right?
found it effective?
Because it's different. People at least respond to it and they'll put their email on the postcard and people will generally email them back because it's something they're not used to. Nobody gets letters
Yeah.
or postcards anymore.
It's funny. All the workshops that I do with casting these days, they're like, don't.
I know they tell you not to, but every once in a while you'll find somebody that's like, well, I'm going to be a little different. Sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't.
If you have the time and you have the resources, like why not, right?
Right, yeah.
I feel like for me, social media is a better way to show my personality and skills than a postcard. But everybody's mileage is going to vary on what works best for them.
Right. So I know you in a lot of animated and video game series, but is that the bulk of your work, or are you also doing like a lot of commercial and e-learning and such?
I do a lot of commercials.
Okay.
E-learning, I did ABC Mouse. I worked with them for a couple of years. That's like kid e-learning, but it was like kids' voices. But I would say the bulk of my income is commercials.
Okay, gotcha.
I think it's more like I haven't crunched the numbers in a couple of years, but last I checked, pre-pandemic, it was like 40, 30, 30, where it was like commercials, animation, video game, and promo. And I kind of put animation and video game in the same category, although they're sort of
They're
different.
very different, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
A character work, I would
Character
say.
work.
And then, but I would say it's a little less promo now, because one of the networks that I do the voice for is mainly doing non-voiced promos, and they have also have a guy that does some of the work with them. So I would say it's probably mostly commercials, but a big chunk of that is still video game and animation. It's just it comes down to, it's what's ongoing. I think that
Right.
your ongoing projects. And so I have a couple commercial campaigns and stuff that have been ongoing for a few years. And those are probably more financially beneficial. Now, in terms of life force and joy, animation and video games is more what excites me.
And I'm very familiar with a lot of your work, especially your World of Warcraft work.
Oh, really?
What was just a character? Maybe it was a lesser known character, maybe not, but just a character when you got that script and it just really resonated with you, where you're like, yes, I get to put so much of myself into this copy.
You mean specifically for WoW or for any
No, for
game?
any game or animation, what's just a character that you've done where it just resonated with you and you're just so proud of that character?
Oh, I would say I really like Neon Red from the new Annapurna interactive game, Neon White, that came out this year in July. It was just so fun. She's very sensual, but she's also has a heart of gold. And when I got the script, I was like, oh yeah, this is my girl. You know, sometimes you just feel very connected to the script, and that was one of those situations. And so I was thrilled when I got the booking. And yeah, the game is just the tagline is for freaks by freaks. And so it just was a really fun world to play in. It's got anime inspired theme lines and storylines. Steve Bloom is the male lead and I'm the female, and he's very much Cowboy Bebop-ish in it. So it was really cool to just like, it felt like I was making games with my peers versus like just getting hired to do something in someone else's project. It
That's
was really
awesome.
fun.
That's fantastic. And so what is your, do you have like an auditioning ritual? What do you do when you get a script? Everybody auditions different. Everybody approaches a character script different. What do you do to like find where you fit with that character and how you can bring it to life? What is your process?
I mean, it's different for every script. It's
Yeah.
different for every genre. I don't have like a certain thing I do every day or every time. I don't even warm up every day. Like some days I do if I feel like I need it. Some days I just jump right in and I want to catch that like off the cuff kind of thing. I mean, one thing that I do is daily meditation, and I feel like that keeps me in touch with my spirit and keeps me in touch with myself so that I can kind of drive the ship based on how I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I feel like things need a lot of work, and sometimes it's just like, you know, one of the first couple reads out of the gate. Sometimes I feel like for, you know, for commercials, like I try to think about what is the essence that I'm going for? What do I want people to feel from the commercial? I sometimes will go and hear what type of music the campaigns usually use to get a feel for the energy of the spot. I will think about who I'm talking to or embody someone that I feel like has a similar voice to the spot. I will act as them. Sometimes I will often, especially in promo, use visuals and picture the spot. If I'm doing a narration or promo, like picture what I would do, what I would see, and like produce it like that. With character work, it depends on if the person is just vocally very different or very similar vocally, and then I will change my delivery and the way I break it down according to that. I mean, many years ago with Dolores Deal, like created character archetypes. So maybe there's like some similarities between like my boy characters. But that might just be like, okay, but this guy's more nerdy, or he's more shy. How does that change the character? I will definitely try to physicalize video game and animation a lot. I will like walk around as the character or improvise conversations with myself. as that character. Yeah, sometimes I'll get coaching if I feel like I need that. Yeah, it's kind of different every day. It's like we spend a lot of time mostly alone
Yeah, that's true.
reading scripts
That's true.
and and like of course, like I was talking to Carlos Alzeraqui about this on my podcast. He's like, you go through and you're like, bullshit, bullshit, my line. And it's like, I'm like, you, Carlos, though, you're such a good actor. Like, we all have our bad habits that come up where we're just like skimming the surface. So like reminding myself to like reread and reread the script and just think about what if I wasn't saying that, like Elaine Craig will have you go through and improvise the commercial copy based on, after you read it a few times, then improvise it so you can kind of get it into your own words. So sometimes I'll do that, but it's a lot of different techniques, and I don't think it's like a one size fits all ritual. I also sometimes do EFT tapping, which I find really beneficial.
What is that?
It's emotional freedom technique, and you tap on a series of meridian points across your body. And then when you're doing that, you say either positive affirmations or you acknowledge what's not positive about the situation and then kind of be open to change. So it's like a scientifically backed method of self-soothing or self-help, I guess, that helps you kind of shift any limiting beliefs. I mean, the worst is when you get in that mindset where you're just like, I stuck. I
Right.
never book it. Or it's like, it'll be like, who's the casting person on this? Oh, I book with them a lot. Like, I can play. Oh, I've never booked with them before. Like, suddenly it shifts how you can sometimes how you approach it. You're like, why didn't they? How come I've never booked with? What's the deal? So, to if I ever get myself in kind of a pattern like that, I'll try to tap my way out of it, and I find that really effective. But yeah, mindset is so much of it. I think even a bigger piece than any kind of, I don't know, especially now, it's like they don't want voiceover voices. Like, I don't know about you,
Right.
but it's like I got into it because I had a voiceover voice.
Right.
Now, no, you don't want to,
Nope.
they don't
They
want
want
that.
something weird or something every day or just something that sticks out a little bit. Yeah, no. I've been seeing a lot of that. And so speaking of your podcast, Alice in Wonderland, what made you want to start that podcast? And I bet you're incredibly busy with all of your booking stuff and hosting a podcast.
Yeah, I'm about to take a hiatus, which I'm really excited about. I actually started the podcast back in 2009 as a YouTube web series, and it was sort of the first. I mean, it predated any of the other predated Talking Tunes. And then over the years, I've rebooted it a couple different times as audio only. And then most recently in 2020, I was 2019 through 2020, completely off social media, which was amazing in many ways, and like for my focus. And
You said in 2020?
2019 to 2020,
So when everything shut down, you pushed it away even further.
I was off. I was off for the first like 3 months of the pandemic,
Gotcha.
actually, March through September. And my agents were like, you like, I wanna like, what's the next level? What does that look like? They're like, well, you're not on any social media, And I felt that it was time, and I was also feeling isolated and not feeling part of the community. So I ended up rebooting the podcast as a way to have something to talk about. And also build community within. And at the time it was IGTV, so we'd have fans come and they would hang out, and we would have guests come, and everybody was doing it remotely. And so it was like that for the first year and a half. I took a break between season one, season two, rebooted, and then we went to in-person interviews, which I like so much better. Although it's a lot more work, it We've got three cameras and everything needs to be edited. We create visual assets for to promote the show online. More people see those than actually see the show itself. But yeah, we've been consistently, we're like 25 episodes into season two and have over 100 episodes on YouTube. It's really taken on a life of its own and it's been cool to watch. So now we're rebooting and actually, I don't know, you're the first person to see it, but I built out this studio space in my recording studio and I'm going to now do interviews here. So I just am in the process of finishing up this remodel. And yeah, I'm also going to be changing up some systems. I have an assistant and a team that does the editing. And so I kind of need to go back to square one because I am not an entrepreneur. I don't have any business training and I'm needing to reevaluate kind of the structures and systems that we have in place to make things more efficient because it is such a time drain. And I'm itching to get back to my other billion hobbies like music and the things that, and I'm also a mom and a full-time voice actor. So I have been a little too crazy, busy without enough space to breathe. And I'm finding that almost all my creative ideas these days are like podcast business stuff or videos. Whereas before I would have creative ideas about songs and poetry and stories to write. And so I'm excited to kind of create a little more space for that sort of thing.
Yeah. So how else has like your daily schedule changed due to COVID? Were you doing like a lot of in-studio recording before or like how else have things changed for you?
I mean, they're kind of going back because most of the games I'm working on now are in studio. I have like three or four games I'm working on right now, and those are in studio. So one just wrapped, which is good. But I prefer to be in studio, even if it's just with an engineer. I just, I'm able to stay focused better. It's really easy when you're working in a space that you always work in to get distracted. And yeah, you know, you need your email open to like submit auditions, and then you get distracted. So I love going in. I would say before the pandemic, 30% of my sessions, 40% were home because of like ongoing stuff and all promo stuff. But most commercials were in studio if they were one-offs, if they're not like ongoing. And then yeah, games and animation. And now maybe only 20% is out of the, it's like flip-flopped. So yeah, and then of course, you know, taking on the podcast is shifted the way I work and how I work. But yeah, I mean, it's almost like I feel that we're definitely, I've seen a shift since summer, or last May, with more in-person sessions and more requests for that. Or, the inverse I think is true with commercials and that most of them say home studio required or home studio preferred.
Right.
So yeah, it's nice to be able to have the option to do both.
Now, something I haven't done in studio, and actually I took one of your classes on, was looping. Mm-hmm. What does an in-studio looping session look like? Because I've only ever done that part of it remotely.
Oh, wow. It's very fun. I think it's more fun. It's usually a longer day though, but you know, you're working with other actors. And so the improv that you're doing remotely, you can't necessarily like, I can't be like Andrew, like on a Zoom, like you and I are going to talk together. You're just like maybe overhearing, but you'll like kind of couple up and be like, so did it. And you're having a conversation with that one person. All the sessions that I've looped were on big sound stages. It's imperative to be on time, actually early. Just it's a lot of fun. Now with the looping at home, that's been interesting because you're also negotiating your own setup and everything and making sure like, okay, good, remove yourself from the audio. And it's always like a little nerve-wracking, even if you've done it before. Like, please don't something go wrong. But yeah, it's great when you're like, you loop couple two episodes of The Simpsons in 40 minutes. It's pretty great.
Right.
So there's a benefit to the at home stuff as well.
So what do you do outside of the booth? What do you do to kind of recharge yourself other than meditation? What other hobbies do you have?
One thing I love to do is exercise. More than anything, I feel like it is my mental health. So my husband and I do acro yoga, which is less of a workout, and I mean it is a workout, but it's more of a fun skill-based hobby.
Okay.
We've been doing that for many years, and we take lessons as much as we can. It's usually about twice a month. And strength training in the gym, swimming. But I think it's mostly just like hanging out with friends, seeing what's happening and going out. Like, I'm a very social person, so I like going out.
So if you were to write yourself a letter from where you're sitting now and send it back to after you had booked your very first voiceover job, what would you write to yourself?
Oh my, well, I mean, I've done that many times.
Oh yeah?
Since I started, I've been visualizing what my life would look like at 40. And it's funny to it there the data is there. Like, write down your goals, write down your dreams, and then let the universe worry about how to get there, because most of the things that I was trying to manifest have come true. Now, it might be a One Voice Award instead of an Emmy. I had a son instead of a daughter, and it was 2 years later than I thought it was going to be. But I really think if you put stuff down, visualize what you want, you're so much more likely to hit that goal. I use this planner, which is the Dream Book, Dreamer Planner. I've been using this for like 6 years. You every year identify what areas of your life you're working on, what your goals are for the year. And I always have a lot more than I actually get to. But slowly over time, they come to fruition. And it's so nice too because it's broken down into quarters. So every quarter you go back and evaluate, okay, how is the podcast coming? How is my health and fitness? How is my family? Things are always going to come up. We remodeled our bathroom this year. It took over 20 months because there was like delays with the materials, and then our plumbing got stolen out of our car, and so it was 9 more months to get the stuff back. So it's like things will set you back, but you can kind of, there is a lot that you can actually control. And I don't know. I'm a very hard worker, and sometimes I think that I've heard you can just release and like let things come to you. So I'm trying to do more of that. But yeah, I think, writing letters to yourself is a great way to help bring in what you'd like,
I agree. Well, where can people find you and where can people find your podcast?
People can find me. I post the most on Instagram. And my
Okay.
username is at Allison. It's Alicyn. I gotta get it right. I was lucky to get just my first name. And Twitter at Allison, and then Facebook, it's Allison Packard Artist. TikTok, Allison Packard. And the podcast, I just post on my personal channels. It's a lot. It would be a lot to manage to start a new channel.
Right.
Although I think about it sometimes, but for now it's all going to be nested under that. And so I'm mostly on Instagram, I think. Second most probably TikTok. And then that's probably where you're going to find me. But I do try to share to the other platforms as well. And the podcast, you can find it on YouTube. Oh yeah, I've also been sharing shorts on my personal YouTube, which is Allison Packard. And then Allison's Wonderland has a YouTube channel, so they can subscribe there. We're almost at 500 subscribers, which is exciting. How many do you got? You've been doing this a while though, right?
About a year.
Okay. A year. So you got some more time on me then. We launched, I think, in April, on YouTube. So it's like a slow grind.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. This has been
You're welcome. Fun. It's okay. Yeah.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Allison's journey through the voiceover world and how the process of commercial and animation auditions has brought life to hers. If you would like to hear some of her work, listen to her podcast, or get to know her a little bit more, you can visit her at www.allisonpackard.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.